Well, let's get into the book of Jeremiah today. That's where we left off last week, and we want to take a look at chapter 13 and starting at verse 15. If you remember that last week, we were talking about how God told Jeremiah to put a sash on or a girdle, and we can't really picture that. Nobody knows what that looked like, but it was to be worn by Jeremiah, and he wasn't to wash it. And that was really hard to do, I imagine. But then he needed to actually go to Euphrates River and put that in a hole and let it get really dirty until it was really marred. And then we had the whole point of this given to us here by the Lord in verse 9 of Jeremiah 13. It says, "Thus says the Lord, after this manner will I mar," or actually "the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem." That's the way God saw the pride that was in Judah and in Jerusalem. And so the Lord just really hates pride. There's a list of seven things in the Bible that God hates, and pride is first on the list. It's what got the devil kicked out of heaven. And so this people that went after other gods, it was a prideful thing. It was a rebellion thing against the Lord. And so we saw that actually the Lord was really, really upset with them and said they were good for nothing, because this garment that Jeremiah had worn and gotten so dirty and buried in a hole for a long time, it was good to just be thrown away. That's it. And so God is brokenhearted over this. And he is speaking to them about what's coming to them from Nebuchadnezzar coming in to destroy Jerusalem and take them away captive because of that. Now in verse 15 is where we left off, and it says, "Hear ye and give ear, be not proud." Oh man, the Lord just says, look, you just gotta steer clear of this. You know, I just heard a message this year, this week, from Pastor Greg Laurie on the radio that really touched my heart. He said, you know, when people criticize you too much and maybe out of line sometimes, there's only one thing you can do with that, and it's give it to the Lord. And just say, Lord Jesus, I feel down right now because I'm being criticized, but I have to give it to you, Lord. But on the other end of that is the pride. Is when we begin to feel like we might be getting prideful and kind of pushy in our lives and so forth with that pride, and begin to get in rebellion against God and forget about the Lord and those kinds of things. That's the other side of feeling so down. We begin to feel about ourselves more highly than we ought to think, as it says in Romans chapter 12. And so, 12. And so just this pride thing. And the Lord really needs to deal with that. And we see how roughly he dealt with that with them, to actually mar, as it says, which really means to ruin, the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. God resists the proud, and he lifts up the humble, and that's where he wants us to be. And you know, I'm so proud of Greg Laurie, because I got to see him personally this week, and he is really able to keep a lid on the pride. I don't know how he does it, because of the thousands of people he ministers to all the time, but it's really a neat thing that God can do in our lives to just regulate that. Because if we get prideful, God has to put us on the shelf, and he can't use us until the pride goes away. And you know, I thought back to my own baptism in the Holy Spirit, and how the first thing that came out of my mouth was I had to rebuke pride. Rebuke it away. Get away from me in Jesus' name. And just do that deal is the first thing that happened to me with the touch of the Spirit of God. And so we just want to take heed. It says, "Hear ye, give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken." Now, in verse 16, he lets us know where we're to be. It says, give glory to the Lord your God. Give glory to the Lord your God. And in Pastor Greg's message, it was, you know, when I'm being criticized, I give that to the Lord. And when I'm being praised, I give that to the Lord. Because that belongs to the Lord. Just redirect it immediately to Jesus in my heart. And you know, because sometimes pastors might get too much praise, you know, from different people. And so it needs to be redirected immediately up to the Lord. And that's such good counsel. For these folks that are being dealt with about pride and about going after the false gods and kind of just belittling the Lord, they're to give glory to the Lord their God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it to a shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Boy, that verse really impressed me with darkness, doesn't it, you? I mean, whoa. He causes darkness. He brings you to dark mountains, puts upon you a shadow of death, and it is gross darkness. All these things are so scary and deep. And this brings us to the idea that they were looking for light, as it says here, you look for light, but in all the wrong places. All the wrong places. They were looking to find some light in all this darkness. But there's only one place that light can be found. Only one place. Give glory to the Lord your God. That is when the light springs forth. That is when things happen that are so good for you and good for me and good for all of us. I'd like to just say that pride is the beginning of the darkness into a life. But what we want is light. And we look for the light. And light only comes through Jesus. That wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. That's the only place where light is. And I'd like to take a little scriptural journey, actually, with you in the New Testament about this subject. Let's go to John chapter 1 and verse 1. Now that is the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, and chapter 1 starting in verse 1. John 1, 1. And it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we see from other scripture that the Word is actually Jesus Christ. For we read in verse 14 of John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse 17 we read, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so using simple logic, the Word was God, the Word has grace and truth attached, and the Word is Jesus Christ. It's very clear. And so he is the living Word of God Almighty, where the Bible is the written Word. And they're one in the same, because God made the Word become flesh. Now with that under our belts, let's read verses 3, 4, and 5 of John here. It says, all things were made by him, that is Jesus. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the life was the light of men. Where does light come from for men? From Jesus Christ, from the Word of God. And that's the only place. And the Lord makes this very clear. Verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Look at verse 9. That was the true light, which lights every man, every woman that comes into the world. The Word, Jesus, the Christ, He is the light of the world. And it's so clear and so huge. Let's turn to John chapter 3, turning over to John chapter 3, verse 19. Jesus is talking about how He was sent by God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then in verse 19, it says this, this is condemnation, that light, He's the light of men, is come into the world, and men love darkness, gross darkness, the shadow of death, all the darkness that was mentioned in verse 16 of Jeremiah 13. But men love darkness rather than the light. And they didn't come to the light. Love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or examined. Don't examine bad things in my life. I don't want that kind of light. And so they reject the light. But he that does true commits to the light. He comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest or clear that they are worked in God. And so that is our goal. We want to always be a true Christian that comes to the light. It says, Lord, search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Go ahead and expose me, Lord. Just expose me. And let that light shine like a giant flashlight on all the things that need to be corrected or courses that need to be changed in my life. And I'm giving glory to you, Lord. The glory goes to you, Lord. And there is the way to victory. That's how we can find light. There is no other way. And I think we, being Christians, know the truth of this. And we just want to get into that completely and fully. I'd like to now take you in our little journey here about the difference between darkness and light to 1 John chapter 1. Now, 1 John is in the back of the Bible. There's three more little Johns that were written all by the same apostle. And the three Johns are right before Jude, which is right before Revelation. So you can turn to the end of the Bible, of Revelation, then turn back to 1 John. First John in chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He's pure light. He's the only light. He's the light of men, and He is the life that brings forth the light, the life that brings forth the light to all men. Now, these are the results of us turning away from the deeds of darkness, going with Jesus, saying, Jesus, just look inside me, show me where I need to repent, show me where I need to change. And this goes on our whole life, and it can go on each morning. Lord, fill me with Your Spirit today. Lead me in the light of Your Word. Cleanse me with the beauty of Your heart. And so, God is light, and there is no darkness at all in Him. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. You know, every time I get off track and something is not of God that's happening in my mind and in my heart, it's like a buzzer goes off. For me, it's a buzzer. It might be something else for you. And it just goes, eh, this isn't right, Mark. It's not right. It's not the right way to go. You know this isn't good. This wisdom is not from above, but from beneath. It's worldly, it's devilish, and sensual. Those are three things that James says about wisdom that's not from God, that we might think it's from God. But if it's from envy and strife, and it's in some kind of bad spirit, that bell will go off. It's called in the Greek, oedas, the knowledge of God concerning your conscience, that you know the difference between right and wrong. And they'll just go, eh, eh. But when you turn and begin to walk after His ways again and begin to give Him glory for what's going on, then the bells go off. Ding, ding, ding. Much better sound. This is only in me. You maybe have a siren and a dong bell. I don't know. But anyway, I get the eh and the ding, ding, ding. And you begin to feel better, and things begin to get lighter, and you just begin to know that you're going in the right way. And it's just a great thing to feel and a great thing and to sense, because you're getting light, and the light is from the Lord, because He's the light of men, and I'm a man, and you're a man, and you're a woman, and that's where your light comes from, and it only comes from Him. Now, verse 7 is just so wonderful. It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. This is a very precious thing, fellowship. It's what happened to us and is happening to us right now today. We feel blessed, and we're together, and we're brothers and we're sisters, and we're just gathering in His name, and we're worshiping. And as Ginger caught the fire up here today, boom, man, I'm telling you, that worship time was just precious. It just exploded almost. It just was so great, this fellowship that we have, and we miss it when we're gone from it. And when we get back to it, it's just, so good. And you know, if you just think about, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, those times you've had just a tremendous night of fellowship in one of your groups, or little, you know, I'm looking at Jeff right now, I'm thinking of the couples fellowship, and just, yeah, woo! right across the room, woo! So, you know, just one of those times when you've been together with other Christians and you're just so blessed. And you get home and you can't really go to sleep yet. You got to have some chocolate chip cookies and just rejoice, you know. And then you go to bed and the Lord gives to you while you're sleeping, and you wake up and you've got a spring in your step. And the other contrast to that is so bad. You go and get drunk and get really drunk, and you get more depressed, and you come home and you wake up in the morning, if you really even wake up. And when you do wake up, your head is pounding, boom, boom, and you can't hardly get your legs over the side of the bed. Go to work, work. You're thinking, I can't go to work, work. And you just can't do it. I know, what a difference. God wants to just cheer you up, love you up, and encourage you up, and get you springing into your work week. Whereas the devil wants to get you down, put you down, keep you down, and bring you up to a mountain of darkness and a gross darkness, as we just read about in Jeremiah 13:16. And so, wow, you look at that and you go, which one do you want? I think everybody would say, we want the light. And even they were looking for light, but they were looking in the wrong places. We have found the right place. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, brings us light. And if you've got just a little light, that little light can affect a whole big dark room. You can light a match in a totally dark room, and it sheds light. And you know, it's like Pastor Chuck always used to say, he said, you know what, don't try to drive the darkness out, just turn on the light. Just turn on the light. Just get into fellowship with the believers and be close to them and be calling them and wanting, striving together to let the light of God shine in your lives and just keep going with Him and the glory He brings through His wonderful, wonderful light. Now the second part of this verse is even greater than the first. Because it says this, I'll read the first part again. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us. And this is the word katharizo, which I probably pronounced it wrong, but anyway, it means a continual cleansing. There is a continual cleansing going on continually in your life because His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is continually, continually cleansing us from all sin. I know it's a little bit gross, but it really brings out something. The word catheter comes from the same Greek word, katharizo. And what's a catheter do? It cleanses, it purifies. And it's a continual thing that goes on as long as you need that. And so we need it all the time. And you know, I think it's demonstrated so beautifully through what happened with Peter, is that Jesus took off Peter's sandals and the other disciples, and He began to wash their feet. And Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet, Lord." And He said, "I have to, or I have no part with you." And He says, "Lord, wash my head and my hands too." And He says, "I don't need to do that. You're already a Christian. You're already washed. But I need to wash your feet." And you know what I pick up from this is that our feet get dirty from walking around in this world every day. And nighttime comes. Thank God for nighttime. I thank God that actually we sleep. You know, I used to get bummed about that a little bit. I got to sleep. But you know, God has designed that. So there's just one day to face at a time. And so nighttime comes and He needs to wash your feet. Wash your feet from the things in your day that you slipped up here, you slipped up there to reflect. And then He gives to His beloved while they sleep. That's a verse. He gives to His beloved while they sleep. It's a defrag. And I think that probably more dreams than we even imagine have to do with God straightening out our brains. It could be the pizza, but then it might be the Lord, right? And He's straightening out my brains and He's defragging me and He's getting me ready for the next day. And then what does it say? His mercies are new every morning. Every morning when you wake up, it's a do-over. It's a do-over. Forgetting that which is behind and pressing on to that which lies ahead. And this is a great thing to know and keep in your mind. His cleansing is continual. He's washing your feet all the time because you're in trouble most of the time. I mean, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we understand what bugs Him. And there's a lot of things that bug Him. You know? But it's neat that He's on the job with us. And He's making us new, daily conforming us to His image. And so we wake up and we need to be in the start over mode. Jesus, this is another new day. Fill me today. Bless me today, Lord, with the power of Your Holy Spirit. And help me to go on in You. And we give it over. And as the bad thoughts might be trying to get in the morning, you say, "No, Lord, I choose You. I choose You. I choose right now to draw near to You." And the Bible says He will then draw near to us and begin to arm us and begin to just get us ready for that day. And this is the most wonderful thing that God does for us because of His great great love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go on back to the book of Jeremiah, and I want to just give you just a couple of more things real quick here. Jeremiah 13. And the next thing has to do with breaking bad habits, so I thought this was important to get to. But let's go ahead and read verses 17 through verse 23. It says, "But if you will hear it, my soul shall..." If you will not hear it, you will not hear what I'm saying here about the darkness that will come upon you if you don't give glory to Him. "But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive." That's what's going to happen. And he is speaking here to the king and the queen. "Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves." Now, this king was only 18 years old. His name was Jehoiachin. And his mother then was really the power, had the power in her hands. And she was the queen mother, his mother, and her name was Nehushta. And so God is speaking here to the king and his mother. "Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it, and it shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north." And that's the area from where Nebuchadnezzar came. "Where is the flock that was given you, your beautiful flock?" God sees you as a beautiful flock. I just love that song where it talks about the beauty of the body of Christ. How beautiful is the body of Christ? Because that's the way God sees it. And because I'm a pastor and God speaks to me, in a pastoral way, I see it. When I get up to talk to you, I want so bad to say everything just right, because you're beautiful. You are beautiful. And I get tears in my eyes many times when I see folks coming that are just blessing me so much, because you're beautiful to the Lord. And it's just sad because this whole nation had gotten away from God. And he's going, "Where is your flock, your beautiful flock? What will you say when he shall punish you?" Jeremiah speaking to them now. "For thou hast taught them to be captains and as chief over you." These leaders that were going south and going the wrong way and worshiping other gods. "Shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? And if you say in your heart, why do these things come upon me? For the greatness of your iniquity are your skirts discovered and your heels made bare." When they would take captives, the prostitutes and the women that were captive in raids, they would take their clothes off and to bring shame to them. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar did, and discovered their skirts and their bare heels. "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed or have a habit of doing evil." Now this is something to grab on for us. How do you break a bad habit in your life? How do you do that? These folks are so far gone that they need to go through these terrible things in order to get right. After God brought Nebuchadnezzar against Jerusalem and Judah and then brought them back 70 years later, they never, ever again touched an idol. No way, no how. Did they stay in idol worship for another second? But that's what it took to get them there. because they were so far gone. It says, how may you do good that are accustomed or in the habit of doing evil? This comes upon societies. You can see it through history, the Greek culture, the Roman culture, destroyed by the Huns, the Romans were, about 500 AD, and just came in and took over because their society had gotten so stinking bad. And that's why we need to pray for our nation continually, because we're going downhill and we want to get back to being thrilled with fellowship, thrilled with going with God, thrilled with doing good. That's the only way out, giving glory to God, giving glory to Him, coming to Jesus, the light, and saying, cleanse me, O God, forgive my sin, and take me with you. And that's the way it happens. So, you know, I want to invite you to the prayer meeting on Thursday night here at 7 o'clock. We're going to come and we're going to pray for the nation. I think President Trump would agree that he needs prayer. Amen. He needs a lot of prayer. And we need to just pray. And so what a good way to give glory to God. And so we see this. Now, I want to just say a couple of words about how to get out of a bad habit. First, I want to tell you about Pastor Chuck and then Bill Gothard. Pastor Chuck said this, when you think a thought in your brain, it makes a groove in your brain. And that groove gets deeper if you go back to that thought and you act on that thought. And if it's a bad thing, it can become a bad habit because the groove gets so deep in your brain. And that's why it's really hard to stop doing what is bad, because it's become ingrained in your brain. And Pastor Chuck says this. He says that the only thing that can cleanse a groove in the brain that's gone bad is the Word of God. Boy, we go right back in our thinking to John 1:14-17. Jesus Christ is God, and God is light. And His light has to come and just expose and burn out that evil. And so you replace the groove in your brain that's become a bad habit by washing it with the Word of God. Now, Bill Gothard said this, and now he's another pastor that maybe some of you don't know because he hasn't been around for a while, but he used to do big, giant meetings like at the Long Beach Arena, and I used to go to those. But something that stuck with me there, that sin is cyclic. It goes in cycles. If you get into a habit that happens every day at a certain time, when that time comes, you'll be tempted to get back into that habit, whatever. And as he also offered the idea that you cleanse that habit by putting the Word of God in that slot. So when we put these things together, very simply, let's say that you get stinking rolling drunk every Friday night. It's just something you do. It's become a bad habit. You know that God's against drunkenness. We're not talking about, you know, taking a sip of wine or something. We're talking about you get drunk every Friday night. And you stumble home and you say things you don't want to say and you do things you don't want to do. So you need to break that habit. Well, what you do is find a Friday night Bible study. It's as simple as that. And you have a good friend that you commit to go with him to that Bible study and tell him to come over and drag you by the hair, if he has to get you to that Bible study. And then you just receive the washing of the Word and you find yourself in the middle of that sweet fellowship that we've been talking about. The sweet, indescribable, wonderful fellowship with other believers. And you know what? The Holy Spirit loosens up the tongue way better than the booze. A lot of people drink booze to get a loose tongue so they can be brave, but they get brave in all kinds of wrong ways. But at a Christian fellowship, you just start pouring out your heart to all your buddies. You become very close. You win lifelong friends that are concerned about you and talk to you, and you listen to them, and you have this back and forth, and it becomes so powerful and so beautiful. Who wants to get drunk anymore? I want to go to fellowship on Friday night. That's what happens. That's how bad habits are broken. It's with Him, the Lord Jesus, and His Word. It's powerful, and it's light, and it's blazing, and it burns away those wicked things in the grooves in your head and changes your mind, and you have a restored, blessed, washed brain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
I guess you can't wait to get home and start working on those bad habits, right? This works and is powerful. Okay, let's just go ahead and read verses 24 through 27, because this is an exhortation to them that are in trouble. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is your lot, the portion of your measure from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me. We are not going to forget the Lord, are we? Man, I'm preaching to the choir right now. You're all here today because you remembered Jesus this morning. And you said, you know what, I'm going over to church. And you came, and here you are. It says, you've forgotten me. These people forgot him and trusted in falsehood. Therefore, I will discover the skirts upon your face, and your shame may appear. I have seen your adulteries, your neighings, your lewdness, and your whoredom, and your abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto you, O Jerusalem! Will you not be made clean? And there's the question, and that is a good question for us. Will you not be made clean? When shall it once be? When are you going to decide to not move away from cleanliness? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Isn't that the way it goes? That's the way Grandma always used to say it. When will you be clean? And the way we're clean, I'll just quote this verse in closing. This is Jesus speaking, John 15, verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. That's how you get clean. And that's what we've been talking about. Well, let's pray together. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you so very much, Lord God, for the cleanliness that you bring to our lives, because we can't clean up by ourselves. And, Lord, there is no place to find light except in your beautiful face to give glory to you, our Christ, our Jesus, our Savior. And so we look to you now. And we want to just take one moment here. Just one moment of silence, that you might look into the face of Jesus and ask him to work on that which he needs to work on in your life. And remember that that cleanliness comes through his word and through his presence. And so we look to him. Let's go ahead and just be silent for a minute here. And so, Father, we thank you so very much, Lord, for your desire to make us clean through your word. Help us to pursue that, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to get prayed for, there we got the signal again. Here's the prayer room, especially if you don't know Jesus yet. It's time for you to know Jesus. Time for you to get on the road with him and just find out how good it is to be close to him. Give up your sin and receive his righteousness. Come on into the prayer room. All right, there you go. And the Bibles, we have free Bibles also in there for you. God bless you guys. Praise the Lord. Amen.